Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, my Blog Talk Radio listeners out there. I'm kind of mixed up tonight, so please forgive me. I'm thinking I missed the episode, but I don't think after I read over some of my programming, I see that I didn't. This is Lily 44. It's April 30th. And tonight I want to continue our discussion on prison love. And I would like to ask a question. And first of all, let me give you out my call-in number. My call-in number is 347-677-1749. Let me repeat that number, 347-677-1749. And we're going to discuss two different items in the same subject because they both belong together after I've done my little research on this. They really do go together. I want to ask a question. What is a ride or die chick? Now, some people have several different meanings what you call a ride or die chick, and this all ties into what we were talking about with the prison love. According to, it's called the Urban Dictionary, a ride-or-die chick is a chick that ain't afraid to be down with her man. She'll do anything her man needs her to do. And this somebody said they were fighting in the store, and my girl was a ride-or-die chick, which meant that a fight broke out, and she was standing next to him helping him fight whoever it was that they were fighting, which I'm sorry, not trying to be critical of anybody or criticize anybody, but I'm not. My husband will tell you, I am not considered a ride-or-die chick because you know what? I'm not going to jail for nobody. I'm not getting in trouble for nobody. I have enough to take care of myself. It does not mean that I love my husband any less or if it was my boyfriend any less. Because I don't think it takes all of that. And anyway, I wouldn't have been attracted to a guy who was into that kind of stuff. That wouldn't be anybody I would be attracted to anyway. So, to each his own. And I've heard that there's a song about a ride or die chick, and she's down for whatever. When we're doing foul things, she's there for me. She lied for me. She'll go to jail for me. Not. I'll tell you about me. I'm not going to jail for nobody. If I did something wrong, then I'm going to jail for Salita. I'm not going to jail for anybody else. I'm going to jail for something I did. Not behind no man, dog, cat, cow, no matter what. I will not lie for you if you've done it, and I know you've done it. I'm be me. Call me a snitch, whatever. It does not mean that I don't love my husband. I don't want him to lie for me either. So I just think when I hear that, it just makes me cringe because that just, to me, that tells me that a woman doesn't think of herself much more than what the situation she's in at that time, that she has to lie and cheat and, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't understand that, and not because I'm on the high horse or anything, but I just never could grasp the concept of telling a lie to the cops or lie about something, the man I'm supposed to be with, that's supposed to love me, that wouldn't put me in danger for no reason, for any reason, to lie for him. I'm sorry, I can't grasp that. Okay? Now, the other subject is we're talking about why do girls like bad boys. Now, I was reading an article written by, let's see, lady's name. I apologize for not having her name in front of me. Her name is Cassandra Mack, and she's the CEO of Strategies for Empower, the No More Drama Hour of Power. And according to what she says about why good girls like bad boys, she states that just about every woman at some point in her dating life will fall for a bad boy, from gangsters to thugs, OGs to Macs in training. They all have one thing in common. They play the game of love by their own set of rules, and if you break the rule, you'll end up with a broken heart. What is a bad boy? He's a thug, a roughneck, and a rebel without a cause. Or he could be the nice guy next door who's smooth as silk, but deep down inside, he's a cold-hearted cad. Bad boys are the type of guys your mother warns you about, but because they've got thug appeal, you throw common sense out the window and caution to the wind. What you must keep in mind when dealing with a bad boy is that most of them see women as conquests, something to be captured and conquered. And when the thrill is over, so is the relationship. Although many of you know this, some of you chase after thug love, hoping to be the one to change him. In the end, you're left feeling hurt and betrayed. And you know when you've got a guy who's not acting right, because you're probably quick to tell your girlfriends what to do the minute their boyfriends start acting up. But sometimes it's easier to tell others what to do than to do what you know is right, which I really totally agree with that. You know, we are, you know, we don't want anybody in our business to find out what our men is not doing, because we fear the judgment of how we live in our life. So it's easy to distract from what we're doing by helping or talking about someone else's relationship. She states that she knows from firsthand what it's like to be captivated by a bad boy, because up until she learned how to make healthier relationship choices, she was a diehard bad boy addict. I wouldn't even look at a guy unless he was a roughneck with a bad attitude. But years of emotional roller coaster rides, baby mama's drama, being played for a fool, made me wake up and smell the dysfunction. As a result, I developed some common sense strategies that helped me break my bad boy habit. I share them in the spirit of sisterhood, hoping that they will help you too. Why do girls like bad boys? If you ask most females why they like bad boys, they'll say the challenge, the excitement, or the thrill of living vicariously, but often what starts out as an exciting high-speed adventure ends up turning into an emotional, draining melodrama. Bad boys offer a double dose of pain and pleasure. When they're bad, they're downright awful. But when they're good, they make you feel like you've just hit the lotto. Here are the most common reasons for females who like bad boys. Secret fear of intimacy. A subconscious wish to bring daddy back home. Low self-esteem. Media brainwashing. These are just to name a few. When we discuss the sense of intimacy, you're attracted to guys who can't really have, because they don't want a real relationship or they're involved with someone else. Perhaps you have a secret fear of intimacy. The reason you may find a bad boy so appealing is because you can be with him without ever letting him get too close. As long as he remains unavailable, he can never get close enough to hurt you. A subconscious wish to bring daddy back home. As you already know, the relationship you had with your father shapes the relationships you will have with other males. If you grew up without a father, or if he was emotionally unavailable, you may find yourself getting involved with men who act just like your father. although you risk getting hurt by him by being with a bad boy, you might be hoping that if you stick around long enough, eventually he will give you the love you didn't get at home. Isn't that fascinating? I never thought about it like that. I like that answer. I really do. I can understand that we do. Women, we are so bent on bonding with something or someone, and we forget that we need to be on our P's and Q's when we start to bond. And, you know, this stuff about missing someone in your life and not having that person in your life, if we could get to a point where we can get over that hump, you will see a different perspective on life. I will truly agree with that. With me, and I think it's because I was not raised in the house with my father was not around, so it didn't really bother me. It really didn't. So, I mean, and then I turn around and be a single parent myself. So that kind, you want to say it's hereditary or generational, but it wasn't something I wanted to do. I was asked to be married to by the father of my son. But I knew in my heart I was not mature enough to make a decision like that, and I wasn't in love with him. So there was no need for me to put my son and me in a position where we would wind up not being together in the end anyway. So I think on that part I made a smart decision not to continue in a relationship where I knew that I was not growing and that I didn't understand it. I was young. So as far as, you know, not having the father around, I guess that didn't really, that didn't bother me. I just never made a big deal about not having a dad around. Just did, I mean, my mom did everything for us, so it was no need to really worry about that. The next one was low self-esteem. You know, some women do feel like they have to have somebody like their father because the father was not there, and, you know, I'm sorry, and it's just my opinion, and I keep trying to tell everyone, these are my opinions, these are not, and I don't want everybody to agree with everything that I say, but my opinion is, a father to me at the time was not important to me because my mom did all she could for us. So there was no need for, you know, quote unquote, oh, daddy, where's daddy? You have 4 or 5 girls growing up in the house together. Mom was there, and, you know, they say mommy's for girls and daddy's for boys, so we didn't have that problem. Now, I can't speak for the rest of my sisters, but I know for me it didn't really bother me too much. Low self-esteem. When you feel good about yourself, you set high standards in every area of your life, including your romantic relationships. If you are in a relationship with a guy who lies, cheats, talks down to you, or mistreats you in any way, then regardless of what you may want others to believe, you do not feel good about yourself. When you value who you are you treat yourself with high regards and require others to do the same. Know that you are worthy of being treated with kindness and respect. Now, that's when you deal with low self-esteem and how you handle your relationships. Because some women, not all women, some women don't realize they have low self-esteem until you talk to them. When you talk to them, you find out how they truly are. And that's amazing to me that it's so many of us out there that do have low self-esteem. You know, I'm not saying that, oh, gosh, that I'm surprised. It's just that women, it amazes me because I look at different women's lives and how all that they've gone through if they tell me their story. So I'm trying to figure out now, okay, why are you saying you suffer from low self-esteem when you have all this going for you? But see, I don't know what's going on inside that person. So I can't judge them just based on what they're telling me about them. I only can make an assumption that, you know, everything in their life, I assume that everything in their life is going great for them and that they have the power to get out of something if they were in something. I don't know that until I literally listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it. We as women, and I will repeat, piggyback off of what Ms. Cassandra said, we do. We need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. Not to say that you walk around with your head up in the air and like you're better than everybody. I'm just saying we should to hold ourselves at a higher standard of what we expect out of us. You know, I just don't see a need for someone to talk down to me. I don't see a need for me to talk down to others, because sometimes we get on our high horse and we go ranting around, raving and talking about how great we are. And, you know, how dare you talk to me that way, or how dare you. We have to look at how we're acting and how we're perceiving ourselves to others, and how how others are receiving us. We pay more attention to that, then we can step back and say, okay, you know what, maybe I need to change this attitude about this situation. Maybe I need to come to them, approach them in a different manner. And something that will always help with your self-esteem, you need to plant the seed. You need to work on everything that's going to make you into that blooming flower, going back to my book, As Your Garden Grow. How does your garden grow? Can't even remember the name of my own book. How does your garden grow? And it's talking about self-esteem being one of the seeds or the tools that we use to become who we are. And how, when you have a tool like self-esteem, how to make, to allow it to work the way that it needs to, so that you can grow into the person that you want to be. And it amazes me that a lot of smart, intelligent women who have it going on find themselves in these type of relationships with men who don't want to work, don't have anything to bring to the table, ain't expecting or dare, how dare you to even ask them to bring something to the table. You know, every woman is not a gold digger, but I don't see the need for her to waste her time and her money on somebody who's not bringing anything to the table. So that goes back to the bad boy or just the dysfunctional guy out there that we find ourselves attracted to. And then another one was saying something about the media brainwashing. Now with that, it says, if you ever watched the episode of Jerry Springer or the latest music videos, you can see how the media portrays the bad boy image as every girl's dream. Popular television and music videos try to make you believe that it's acceptable for guys to disrespect females and reduce them down to a sex object. Think of Jay-Z's Big Pimpin' video of the Lox Need a Ride or Die Chick. You can see how the media pushes bad boy image as the ideal. You don't have to buy into everything the media feeds you. You can make up your own mind regarding what is attractive and acceptable. There is no good reason whatsoever to stay in a relationship with a guy who doesn't appreciate or respect you. And I think that's very important and empowering in the way that she said that, that you don't have to be in a relationship. And we don't allow the media to tell me what I should like in a man. I don't like drug dealers because some way or another, they're destroying someone else's life. Some phase or another, they're destroying someone else's life. So why would I be attracted to a drug dealer? Not. Why would I be attracted to a man who has a record? And let me say this, because there are times when people do have records. Situations happen when, I'm not saying those, I'm talking about people who literally know what they've done wrong, have not tried to change, and they continue to keep going back and back into that same mode and using that same, you know, just won't come up out of that lifestyle that they're living. You get involved with them, so now you're part of their lifestyle. You know, I'm sorry, I just don't have no sympathy for any woman who has a right mind, who has good self-esteem, and she gets with this person and he tears her down. I don't have any sympathy for you. You don't. Love is important, but love is not the ideal that you sacrifice who you are to be with somebody. You don't sacrifice your very being of who you are to be with someone who's not going to do you any good. You don't do that. And it's up to each and every woman to make her own decision. And who am I to sit around and talk about what you shouldn't do and what you should do? All I'm saying is, for me and my house, I don't believe in having to be with a guy who's got a record, who's habitually breaking the law on purpose, and then you expect for me to stand beside you and be with you. I don't understand that. And there are more reasons than just low self-esteem, how you feel about yourself, whatever. It's more to it than that. I'm sorry. Yeah, bad boys need to be loved, but does it necessarily mean that they need to be loved by you? You know, give him to somebody else. Because eventually, when it gets into them breaking laws, breaking the law, guess what you're doing? You're sacrificing, say you have kids in the relationship, you're sacrificing your children's lives and your life to be with this guy who's not doing anything for you. And if he's doing something for you, it's illegal. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, well, he brings in the food, he brings it, he keeps a roof over my head, but is he doing it legally? You know what I'm saying? Is he going out there working? Or is he standing on the corner with his buddies selling drugs? You know, it doesn't matter how he's getting it. Yes, it does. It matters a lot how he's getting it because it affects your life. It affects everything about you if you don't know how he's getting it and you don't care. But when the cops knock on your door, well, he was here with me last night. No, he wasn't. He was standing on the corner. He got in trouble, and he's running. And you're taking up for him. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not fighting over him like some of these women do. I'm not doing it. It's not me. I think of myself higher than that. I'm not fighting no woman over no man, okay? It's not worth it. And when you stoop to the level of doing that, you're no better than he is, and you're no better than the crowd or the women that he sleep with or be around with. It's not worth it. Why are you jumping on her? Because you're afraid to jump on him? Because you know he has the upper hand in the whole relationship anyway? So you want to beat her up? Or you want to act a fool and embarrass yourself and her at the same time? I don't get that. I'm sorry. I have more pride in myself to lower myself to those standards. It doesn't take all that to be in a relationship with a man. If he truly loves you, if he's going to be there for you, he's going to be there. It's more than just saying just because he's there, he's... No, it's more to that. It's how he's there and why he's there and what makes him stay. That's what's important. And we don't care for a man. Sister has a sin that a woman... You can take a pair of pants and hang on the wall and say as a man. To me, that's not a big deal. So, but with me, I wear pants. That doesn't make me a man or a woman. It just tells you that I wear pants and I can almost do as much or more than when it comes to providing for my family than a man can. I have to say that for myself. I don't want a piece of a man. I want a whole man. I want a man. You know, and when he's in relationship with me, he's going to be the man. I'm going to question how he's getting his money because that's important to me. I'm going to question how he's doing this and how he's doing that because it's affecting my life, my lifestyle, and how I live. It's affecting me because he's in my life. That's important. So that's why... When I hear, you know, I'm going to be with him regardless. Okay, that's fine. You be with him regardless. But what is it worth with you being with him? What is it worth? Is it worth you going through what you're going through to be with him? Black eyes, broken arms, you're in the hospital. You know, your kids are afraid. You know, you sacrifice your life, your kids' life, to be with a bad boy. I don't get it. I don't understand that at all. And I'm going to read you another article. And I'm trying to see where we get this article from. I love reading articles. Awesome articles. Let's see. This is called Welcome to Vincent's Romance. Wikipedia.com is where I've gotten. When a woman falls in love with a bad boy, It says, one of the more intriguing observations when it comes to primary relationships is that of women who fall in love with men who treat them terribly, and yet they simply cannot break free from the emotions that tie them together. Whether it's a verbal abusiveness, being a player, having a mean disposition, displaying violent tendencies, or any other number of negative traits that leave a woman shortchanged in the relationship, these guys get away with murder. The women who have emotionally bonded with them become willing victims in a dance to the death of their own self-esteem. Again, we're talking self-esteem. I've talked with a number of women who have fallen prey to such men. Most eventually recognize the destructive nature of a bad boy relationship. However, some either have not yet figured it out or they fully realize their situation and feel absolutely trapped by it. Let's see, which I thought was very important. You know, some women do want to get out of it. Some of them don't. Some of them enjoy being in those type of relationships. I just don't understand it, okay? What bad boys do. Women who allow themselves to fall victim to bad boys simply cannot accept that men do not think as they do regarding intimate relationships. I've had the experience of attempting to inform women who are emotionally tied to these insensitive, inattentive men as to what motivates them. Young woman, all this guy wants from you is sex. He is not interested in you as a person, nor does he care about you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. If it appears that he does care about you, it is only a temporary act to get you into the bed. The truth of the matter is that he will always revert to his true self after satisfying himself at your expense. Don't forget it. They usually answer, well, yes, and I do get it, but what they really mean is, no, I'm clueless. The pattern goes something like this. He is good to her. He is attentive and demonstrates caring. He is possibly even romantic. He takes her to bed. He naps. He takes a nap. He becomes abusive emotionally, verbally, physically. He treats her badly. He is inattentive and could care less about her. He goes his own way and does what he wants to do when he wants to do it and who he wants to do it with. He needs sex again. He begins to be good to her again. He is attentive and demonstrates caring. He is possibly even romantic. He takes her to bed. Get the idea? Bad boys are interested only in one thing. The women who fall prey to these manipulative jerks are victims because they allow their love to overwhelm their better sense. There's another factor to consider when analyzing what it is that causes good women to be attracted to bad boys. These men also represent flirtations with danger or being able to venture into experience they have never been before. Women who have lived straight lives, whether they be a result of being raised in a more conservative manner or having come out of a more sterile kind of marriage relationship, can be willing victims for these predators. Like the proverbial fly who wants to get close enough to the fire and not be burned, bad boys serve as a tour guide into the seamy side of life. As a result, regardless of repetitive breakups and reconciliations, they have no idea that they have already flown too close to the fire and have been badly burned. If you recognize yourself in this conversation, perhaps it's time to reach out and get some serious help before it's too late. I thought that was very interesting, that we need to learn how to come out of those type of relationships as possible, not to get involved. Know what's wrong. Know the danger signs of dating a bad boy. You have to know what you're looking for. And lots of times, you know, and I hear this all the time, I want my husband to be like my dad. No, you don't, because dad has bad points too. Overall, he wasn't that bad, but he was abusive verbally. oh, well, mom would do things to, no, it doesn't matter. There's no perfect person. Let me first say that. There's no perfect person in this world. I'm not perfect. My husband's not perfect. Our friends are not perfect. Everybody has something that's a glitch with them. But in the meantime, that person either is going to be with you or they're not. They're going to accept you for who you are and what you are and how you are from the beginning to the end. We don't understand is we don't have to. That doesn't mean that I have to accept it. That's just telling you that I'm allowing it to happen. I'm accepting it because it's what I want to. It's not something I have to do. Because if I think it's not right, I'm stepping away. I don't know about anybody else. And, you know, me and my girlfriend have conversations all the time. And she says, Sully, you're so cut and dry. You don't have your talent level for crap is just not there. And it's because of my past relationship with men where I had a guy be verbally abusive to me, and no matter what he did, I still was with him. But I've come to a point in my life where enough is enough. I'm not putting up with it. I'll never again let anybody talk down to me or make me feel that I'm not worth anything again in my life. So when you go through that, you either learn from it or you keep going back into those type of relationships. And I find myself not wanting those relationships, being around people who have those kind of relationships. I don't have sympathy for you because I feel that you can get out just like the next person can. You know, and people keep making excuses like, everybody's not like you, everybody's not like you. No, I'm not wanting everybody to be like me. I'm just wanting you to wake up just like I did. I'm not saying you have to do it the same way I did it or do it like I did it, period. I am just saying that you come to a point where you feel that you're more important. Your emotional state of mind, who you are, what you are, is much more important than the people that you allow in your life. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I feel that I'm more important than any situation that I put myself in. So what I need to do is disconnect myself from that situation if it's not a positive situation. If it's not a situation that I'm going to learn and grow from, if it's not a situation that's very, very negative, I don't want to be part of that relationship. And I can step away. It doesn't bother me to say I'm not doing it. I don't have to be in this relationship. Excuse me. I can move on. It hurts. I ain't going to tell no lie, because we do get emotionally caught up in the relationship, and we find ourselves, you know, struggling, trying to make a decision whether we want to stay in it or get out. Stay in it or get out. It's up to us. And when we don't make that decision, then it's hard. It's really hard to move on and to get to that next level. But it's up to us to do it. Another article I found is called A Woman's Passions. And this was written, it's called Relationships and Psychology and Why Girls Like Bad Boys, and it says 9 causes. Number 1 says, good guys like to dress well. However, with some time, I began to see a gentleman dolled up like a dandy. I realize that they have something to hide. They do not have confidence in themselves, and they're trying to compensate for that through a costume. I am a little sorry for them, and they are not interesting for me. Self-assured men feel equally good in any clothing, but is a sports suit, jeans, or anything else, they're interested in any clothing. They do not need to prove anything around. They have already proved everything. Good guys are afraid to make decisions. Let's see, number 3 was good guys like being with you when you are well. They have a property to go aside as soon as there's trouble, even minor trouble, they want to go astray. Good guys are easily influenced by grandma, auntie, mom, dad, best friends, and so on and so forth. Good guys never quarrel. In fact, they learn to hide their opinion. Good guys float downstream. They like order in everything. Number 7 says, a good guy will stand at your door and knock on it so timidly that you will not hear him. This is why women like bad boys. Good guys like educating you and want to change you. And the favorite exercise of good men, reflections on future. You also have a vague chance to be with him in his future. Definitely this will be soon or easy, and only if you manage to close eyes on his endless doubts and regrets. He resides in tomorrow, but you live now. Most likely you will run away with a bad boy, with a bad guy, which is more present in today. Bad guys make future now. They act, make mistakes, then back and forth. There's more like life. Or I guess I didn't choose that one too good. That one, I mean, too well. I didn't understand that one too much. But she was explaining why psychologically and emotionally we go to bad boys opposed to good guys. To me, I disagree with what she said because that's not reasons. I don't believe that's the reasons why we go to bad guys. I do not believe that. And the reason why I brung that up with the ride or die chick, because they do go hand in hand. There has to be a reason why she's a ride or die chick. There has to be a reason why she wants to do it, to be with that person. And the concept to me is, you know, the next thing he does, he gets in trouble, and, you know, she's there doing all she can, visiting him in prison, and I'm just, I think it's a very bad idea, and it wouldn't be anything that would interest me to do, is to be with a bad boy. Why? It's a fascinating thing, and I don't want women to get the idea that I'm downrating you because you're in a situation where you have kids for a man who's in trouble and you continue to see him and you don't understand. I have to take care of him. I have to be there for him. I do understand. But I just think that you should think of yourself much more than that. I think you should think of yourself on a higher pedestal. Not to walk around with your nose up in the air, but the idea that you're on a higher pedestal when it comes to you doing what you have to do for yourself and your children and making things happen for your life when it's not involving him. We as women have to understand it's all right to bond. It's all right to have someone in our life, but let him be something worth you having. I always say, what are you bringing to my table? I'm bringing something that I can use, that is going to help me out, that is going to better me. If you're not bringing anything to my table that's going to better me, then guess what? I'm not interested. I'm not. And majority of the time, there's always something that, you know, that's not good that you're bringing to my table if you live that lifestyle, you know, walking around with your boots. You know, you have stolen goods on from your drawers down to your T-shirts, to your socks. Everything you have about you is not legal. Your name's not legal. You know, everything about you is illegal. And you keep, you know, you think it's cool to be that way as a grown man. When you're in your 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, it's time to grow up. It's time for you to step up to the plate. If you got kids out there, take care of your kids. Well, I can't find a job. Yes, you can. You can find a job. Just say you won't do the jobs that are out there. And some people just refuse to be. It's their way and mindset to not follow the rules. But my thing is, when you go to prison, you're following rules, because those people over there are paid to get you up in the morning. They are paid to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do while you're in prison or in jail. They're paid to do that. You saying what you won't do for the white man or the man out there or whatever you want to call it, but when you get locked up, guess what? You're not on your own. You're not. You're up under somebody else's rules and regulations. So what is the concept in your mind that you're not, the man can't tell me what to do? Yeah, the man can. Because when you get caught, that's what the man is doing. He's telling you you are under arrest. And from now on, from here on out, until you get out, you're going to abide by our rules. So to me, I wouldn't want my husband to go through that. I wouldn't even think he would want to go that route. And to think that I would stay with him in that with that concept is even alarming. But, you know, to each his own. I just pray that women who are out there, and I'm hoping that someone will listen to this show and hear me out. You are better than that. You are better than your situation. That means that when I say to you, you are better than your situation, you're better than the man that you're with if he's not doing anything for you, and if everything he's doing is not legit, it's illegal, you can get out, okay? You can get out. You know, if you have to hide, cheat, and steal and lie to get everything in your life, there's a problem. There is a big problem there. It's up to you to step up, take your time, learn your situation, know what you're getting in, put your emotions in your purse, because sometimes you have to put your emotions in your purse and open them only when you need to, and get some help, move out, whatever you have to do, and get your life back, okay? Get that strength back to get out these negative relationships, to get away from the bad boys. I don't want to have to sneak and be with my husband. I don't want to have to sneak and watch and see if the cops are watching us. I don't want to go through that with my children, and if it was me, if I had more than one child, my children, or if I even had a baby at home, I don't want my child to live a life like that. You know, your child has to go visit their dad in the prison. Come on, what are you showing your children? And sometimes it's to the point where it's hereditary, where the child grows up and be just like dad. I want to be just like my father. So women out there, dating these bad boys, if you're just dating them, you do still have an opportunity to get out. You women who are thinking about it, that's out there thinking about it, don't. Move on with your life. Get yourself together. Look at things differently. Come from another perspective. This has been Blog Talk Radio. And this has been Salita, as you know me, as Lily44. I will be closing out, and I will be gladly to hear from you guys. Email me. You know my website's to catch me at. And I would like to say good night. Talk to you again. Bye-bye. Love yourself first, always. Bye.